What up, FIFA Tears? It's B-Rad from the FSB Creators, and we are bringing you another episode of the Three for Tears podcast. And as always, I am joined by my fellow co-hosts, Merz and LAJS. How are you guys doing today?
Well, I'm definitely in better health and spirits than my fellow co-hosts, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a good time to be me. You can tell from the voice it's not ideal, but we soldier on.
You got commitment to the cause, I'll give you that. He has. He is. You probably won't hear it in this, but he has been coughing and spluttering and struggling his way through this episode tonight. There is not going to be any extra time following this, but I will give you more info on that at the end of this podcast, so stick around until the end so you can find out details on where to send your questions and where they will be answered in the future. But the first thing I'm going to touch on for today, and that is something that everybody, I suppose, has been a bit synonymous with today, is we've filmed this on a Monday. Today has been a Monday bank holiday because it has been the funeral for the Queen. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for myself, I kind of struggle generally with funerals anyway. I very much am a person that tries to want to see things as a celebration of life, and I just didn't feel like today that was going to kind of be the impression. I think it was probably going to be a little bit kind of overly emotional and a bit solemn. And we decided not to be a part of that for that reason today. So actually we went out for a nice walk around a lake and park near us, which takes about an hour. Took the boy around there, fed some ducks and things, and it was quite nice just to get out, get some fresh air. And obviously it was an extra day that I get to have with my wife, as she's a teacher and has a bank holiday off, so that was nice to have that extra day in a way, even though the reason's obviously not so nice. What did you guys do anything differently? I mean, I imagine Luke, you probably were held up in bed, or certainly
pretty much summed me up. I've tried to go about my general day, but yeah, nothing too fancy from me.
Today's just been an ordinary day, in my opinion. I don't think there's any different. And my kids, like, they don't really know much about it. They obviously know the funeral's going on. One of them put it on, but didn't really watch it. I think it's something that is more down the avenue of what my wife will do. Like, she'll watch news and like just basically be part of it and see it and stuff, whereas I'm not really too bothered and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I understand it, and I get that, like, a lot of people, certainly of an older generation, who have kind of, you know, we've had a lot of time knowing her as our queen, but obviously there's been a sort of generation beyond us that have had a lot longer with her there, and that's probably why they've kind of feel a bit more part of it and a bit more in mourning than maybe someone of our generations. And I always sort of have said recently as well, as I feel like, you know, we know more about the government running the country more than we do the royal family, and I think that's just how it is, because pretty much that is what happens, unfortunately, as well. Let's say that, unfortunately. The other thing of note at the moment is I'm now suddenly in my winter clothes. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, Luke might be raging a fever, so he probably hasn't felt it, but yeah, I'm definitely feeling the chill now. I have got, for the first day in a long time, a t-shirt and jumper on for our recording.
I mean, yeah, I've been wearing some jumpers and stuff on a couple of occasions, but mainly only in the morning. By the time it gets to the afternoon, it warms up, so it's probably a little bit too warm for it. But it's kind of expected. We've had, like, super hot weather during the summer and stuff, the heat waves. So it's this is the temperature that I prefer, let's be said. Because then it's like not too cold and it's not too hot. It's just nice, comfortable temperature that you can go about doing your things in the day and stuff.
Yeah, what about you, Luke?
Yeah, I've been in a hoodie most of the day. I've been the opposite. It wasn't a fever. I didn't want to be cold. I was wrapped up in as many things as I could find. But I'm now only in a t-shirt, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that does sound like a fever. but yeah, I definitely like I'm the same with MERS. Like, I get really uncomfortable when it was like 34, 35 degrees. I feel much happier now the temperature started to dip. And yeah, that means, like everybody else this week, hopefully we will be not touching grass and be spending more time indoors for the release of FIFA 23, which is what you guys are really here to listen about. So we have the confirmed release dates for everything, so we'll just touch on those first. We have got teaming up on the same day, or supposedly on the same day as the web app, the first team of the week. Now, I have seen some potential possibilities, one of them being a man that would have surprised, well, not surprised you necessarily this weekend, Luke, but it was a long time coming maybe for him. We'll touch on that game when we get to it. But Heung-min Son looking like to be a pretty big first team of the week player. Someone you definitely want to get your hands on for coin purposes at the start of the game, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. It's always a desirable card. And to be fair, normally they end up just releasing the gold version about minutes before they release the team in a week. You'll see like an occasional one in there. So even if you can get hold of one of them, that'll be your mortgage come release day.
Yeah, have you seen any other potentials from the team or potential team of the week's Merz? Any players in there you think would be looking good to pack or trade with or make some coins off?
William Saliba.
That's his first one I was thinking of.
That's one that came to my head and stuff that I've seen. It's a bit hard because I haven't really actually seen any predictions.
Have you not?
For it. Maybe we need to go to trusty bloody footbin for this type of thing.
Yeah.
The old whatever his name is again.
Grimmer.
Yeah.
I think we did.
Oh yeah, he's got his prediction. Oh.
It is there. It is there. Let's have a look.
Good old Aaron. No graphic for it, though.
No graphic or anything yet, no. So we've got William Saliba, noticeable there. Kieran Trippier is a potential one there. Won the penalty, got man of the match. So potential to 86 rated. Heung-min Son, the sub hat trick. A 96% pass accuracy for Marco Verratti. To potentially get him an 88 card. They look like a couple of nice looking beasts as well there, which we are going to talk about some beasts, but they certainly like the Gakpo potential there. One goal, three assists. He looks like for an 85 rated in form at the start of FIFA, if you got him untradeable or something, looks like it'd be good. Same as Rafa. We know he's always got hefty pace and he's got one goal and assist for Benfica with a potential 84 team of the week there. Another good looking cheap beast, De La Feo, 80 to 83 rated in form, two assists. The standard Ciro Immobile, guy who gets loads of informs and never, well, until he gets a team of the season, doesn't ever tend to be that usable. But yeah, there's definitely a few potentials on here that look like they'd be sort of nice little starter cards. I see that Mama Balde as well, two goals and one assist in the French league. It looks like there's some potential for some naughty cards in the first team of the week on FIFA, and that is going to be released on Wednesday, the same day as the web app. Now that is right. The web app comes out this year 6 days before the release of Ultimate Edition. I think I've seen a lot of traders are massive fans of this because it gives them 6 days to get some coins and some investments and things done in that time. What is your plan for? Are you obviously? I know, Merz, you said about doing your past and present Arsenal. What is your plan for Web App Day? How are you going about it?
Well, web app day is just basically there's only two things you can essentially do: trading and the SBCs. Like, you can't really do much on the web app, which means I think for a lot of people that 6 days is probably going to be agonizing because they're going to probably stare at it and go, I can't really do much. I can't buy my players. I can't do much. But generally speaking, for those that are savvy and know what they're doing, it's a good opportunity to, yeah, to make some investments, to potentially buy some players on the cheap, to open up a few packs, I guess, do bronze pack method, and just wait until that 27th with the 10-hour trial, with the Ultimate Edition. Because that's the other thing, is that this year we're not getting the 10-hour trial before the Ultimate Edition's access release. So you can only generally do whatever you can normally do on the web app, which is literally just like SBCs opening up packs. So there's not really a great deal that you can do, but for the right people, there's a lot that can be done. But for the majority of people, I think they'll just look at it and be like, it's a boring 6-day wait.
Any plans if you're feeling better for the web app release day, Luke?
Well, I mean, honestly, it shouldn't make a difference whether I'm feeling well or not. I can still sit at a laptop. Well, from what we know, I might not even be able to do that. Let's not pretend I'm not having massive issues with my computer at the moment. But the plan is to do SBCs, try and get as many of the advanced ones done as you can. Try and find players that will be used for the classics, such as Puzzle Master. Let's see if we can just, you know, Sydney is a one I've definitely got an eye on. Brazilian in the Spanish second tier. That's almost certainly going to be a mortgage for that alone. So just a little tip, look out for Sydney.
The other thing I will probably predict is that they're probably going to have some special, like, challenges that you might be able to do that are just like very simple, like maybe just like logging in for the day. So they'll probably do that, like this daily login, and then when the game fully comes out, you probably might get a little welcome bonus. Probably there's just going to be generally like a few extra bonuses that you tend to see when they've done web app and early the 10-hour trial release and stuff like that. So also worth keeping an eye out for that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, I think that's the way that people will go. I think a lot of people will be completing the SBCs. I mean, obviously, you're going to get some free packs at the start of the day, but I imagine, I mean, have we got a time for the web app release?
If I'm going to predict, it's going to be the usual sort of business, which is around 6 p.m. and then maybe someone forgets to put it on and then we all have to wait until like 9 p.m.
Because I remember, for some reason, I feel like I remember it like was meant to be released at like midday. And then it never did, like, materialize until about 3 p.m. or something last year.
Yeah, this is EA, isn't it? They never do things according to the book and to plan.
No. So yeah, I mean, those people that are going to put points on or open packs and things, I do urge you to just try and hold off until the team of the week is at least released, if it does come out earlier than team of the week, because we all know that will be Wednesday evening. It won't be. It'll follow the same suit as it did last year. It'll probably be out at 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening. So even if the beta or the web app is out at 3 p.m., 4 p.m. or something like that, do wait for your packs to be open until then, because you never know. If you pack that Human Mint on, it could be you set for the start of FIFA. But the other noticeable date, yeah, like Mer said, the EA trial comes out on the same day. For those that haven't bought the Ultimate Edition, comes out on the 27th. The companion app will come out the day after the web app, so that'll be out on Thursday. If you don't like using your computer or you don't really have access to a computer or laptop, you'll be able to do it by phone or tablet on the 22nd. And then the official full launch date is the 30th of September. So obviously that'll be the day where, you know, everybody will be opening packs. There'll be a lot of good availability and chance for you to snipe players and stuff that are used for SBCs and try and make yourself some coins and save your money. Don't give EA any more than they're already going to get off us for this year. Now, the other thing that they have done is they have newly released the top 1,000 players into FIFA. Now, obviously, we touched on the top 100.
Like top 23, but they're like, but since then they've obviously been adding to it by showing off the top like 23 per like league, and then like certain attributes are like top passing, top dribbling, and everything. Between the last time we recorded and today, but yeah, the top 1,000 pretty much includes all of those.
Yeah, and we did touch on like some players and their sort of massive changes in ratings and statistics and stuff in FIFA last time around. But what we're going to look at in today's podcast is we're going to just sort of look at some of the players that we think are potential cheap beasts to start off your teams with. Because obviously starter teams, we're at that phase again where you'll be getting basically your standard gold rare teams and be looking for those ones that are just a little bit OP. Obviously, we aren't going to know until the game is officially released, and then no doubt they'll be patched and will change again. But we don't know what the meta is going to be really until the official game is released. I imagine probably still pace and dribbling, as it seems to be the way they've moved recently, but we don't know for sure. But I have picked out some players. I think Merz has picked out some players. Luke, as he alluded to, is having some issues with his computer, so he will be looking to his companion app for Footbin to help find some players. But I'll start off with one that is a player that has picked up pretty much every FIFA as a potential beast. I'm going to mention him again as a starter team just because he's sitting here on my screen right now. And that is going to be Wilfred Zaha. So he is still 82 rated, but he has got a pace boost to 91. He's got a shooting boost to 79. And he's just got a 1 downgrade on his dribbling stats. Moving up 37 places this year, which is pretty surprising considering the rating change. It obviously shows that a lot of players have dipped out of those ratings rather than dipped into those ratings. And generally across the board, all his stats are pretty good. His agility is 85, his balance is only 75, which probably lets him down. But other than that, he's got 5-star skill moves, and he looks like he'll be another good starter for the Premier League. Do either one of you want to go with a player, and I'll come back to some others?
Yeah, I'll come in with Emre Can, for instance. So he is obviously a centre mid by his face card when you first pack him, but he can be switched to a centre back. He has 80 pace, but critically, he's got 82 defending and 87 physicality. So, like, we've spoken before about like certain players, and it's not always necessarily about having pace at the start. I know like lots of people like to want to go for those pacey ones, but yeah, sure, he does. He only has 67 acceleration, but I think with those defending stats, and if you put the right chemistry style on and make sure that he has a free diamond chem on him, I think that can sort of like alleviate that little bit, and he'll just be good until you start accumulating coins, playing foot champs, maybe getting the red player picks and stuff like that, and start truly upgrading the team. So like cheap for like maybe like, and great to use for maybe those like first 2-3-4 weeks of the game cycle.
Got anyone that takes your fancy, Luke?
So I do, and it's a guy who has been brought up a few times on this podcast since he's made his transfer. It's an 82 rated card. He will have a ones to watch. It's Darwin Núñez. Now, this is based off the fact that I liked cards like Andre Silva, cards like Erling Haaland. Haaland's the one I'm drawing more of a comparison to here. Because if you look at them, Núñez is literally Haaland light. It's same pace, lot less shooting, 82 instead of 91. A little bit more passing, a little less physical, a little less defending, 3 less dribbling. 3-star, 6'2" instead of 6'4". It is literally going to be Haaland light.
Yeah.
So if you want to try out someone like Haaland and he's a bit expensive at launch, Núñez is your answer. If you want a target man, if you want someone who's pacey, like 89 pace off the bat, very nice.
Yeah.
So I think that's really a great card to start.
Acceleration 91 as well.
Exactly. So this card gives you a range of things. Yes, it means I'm going to have to like fall on my sword about my health. I love 4-star skills. It's the start of a FIFA. We don't know if the skills are going to be good this year. I know at the beginning of last year, I was terrible for about 2-3 weeks because I was still stuck on doing directional nutmegs everywhere. because that was no longer relevant. I was still trying to do it and it wasn't working. So whilst I was adapting, I ended up playing more no-nonsense football and it started working. So this is the kind of point in FIFA where I won't be doing skills and going mental. It'll be just no-nonsense, almost... I mean, I've got the gravelly voice for it at the moment, almost Sean Dyche. 4-4-2. Job done.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the tabs I've got up as one of the players. Definitely someone I think will still be fairly cheap, despite the fact he is now a Premier League Liverpool player. I still think he'll be fairly cheap at the start of the game. Just because he's not that short, dribbly, agile player that people like. I mean, his pace might make him a little bit more expensive because people might go for the pace meta. But yeah, he looks like a nice starter card, and I will certainly be interested in using him. High defensive work rate worries me a little bit, but you know, we'll see. What is very funny, I have just opened up an 85 times 10, and two players in that pack are two tabs at the top of my screen. Now, I'll start with one who I don't think necessarily will be a cheap beast, especially surrounding the hype around him, but is definitely a card to look out for in FIFA 23, and that is Antony's transferred to Man United card. He is going up to an 82 rated card with 93 pace, 86 dribbling. He is going to have acceleration 95, sprint speed 91, and he's got an agility and balance, if it will let me scroll over to it, which it won't. Right, it's finally let me do it. So he's got 92 agility and 85 balance. So I think this card is going to pretty much fit the meta of FIFA 22. He's got 5-star skill moves again, high medium work rates, looks very, very nice indeed. But I don't necessarily think for that reason he will be cheap. He's sort of like is giving me Vinny Jr. vibes, which means I feel like he'll be expensive at the start. However, the other player who has come up in my pack, who is a new Leeds signee, rather, is Luis Sinisterra. Now he is going to be a left wing Colombian for Leeds. He has got 89 pace, 85 dribbling, and his agility and balance. His agility and balance is 93 agility, 87 balance, and this card is a 4-star, 4-star, which makes him very, very appealing. 80 rated at the start of FIFA. For Colombian hybrids or for Premier League hybrids, I know we've got a couple of Colombian fans in here at the moment as part of the FSB creators. So you could potentially see these in their sides, definitely. I think he probably, price-wise, or certainly for what I expect price-wise, appeals to me more than Antony. But obviously I wouldn't say no if I packed Antony. What else you got there, guys?
I'm going to go with a perfect link here. So I can see potentially, obviously, people trying to take advantage of this new chemistry system. And I'm looking at Timber and Gakpo. So we obviously spoke about his inform, but even his standard card, for instance, isn't too bad, realistically. 4-star, 4-star, 87 pace, 84 dribbling. You know, it's going to be cheap because, yeah, to be fair, most people are still going to probably be very one-dimensional in their approach to the squad build and who they want to go out and buy. So they're probably still going to mainly look at the top five leagues. So maybe something like that. And also, if you look at the amount of Dutch players that are looking quite good as well within the game, you could easily get those onto full chem because of the perfect link, which I don't think you get a bonus anymore for like a perfect link, but still it's like same nation, same club, so it helps build towards that, getting that free diamond, and then just need a few other Dutch players here and there. Like if you get lucky and get a De Jong, there's one. Like Van Dijk, for instance, you know, when you look at it, it's not that hard.
Just double check. Did you say Timber and Gakpo were a perfect link? Was that who you said?
I was going to say Bergwijn.
Bergwijn is someone I've got on my radar.
Bergwijn and Timber. But then I saw just above Bergwijn Gakpo, so I was like, actually, that might. But yeah, to be fair, even like Bergwijn Gakpo and Timber as a combo, three Eredivisie Dutch players, that'll pretty much work quite well.
Yeah, my one was going to be Bergwijn that I was going to cover. I was looking at him and Tadic. Tadic is a card that I famously just randomly get on with. It doesn't make sense. It's just he's a slow player, but you can work that at cam, and he can play centre forward, he can play cam, left wing and left mid. So that's a card I'll enjoy using. 4-star, 3-star, left foot. It sounds pretty much right up my alley because that's Puskas style things there, but obviously nowhere near the stats to back up compared to Puskas.
No. But I know what you mean. You look at like a player that like that who you just get on with. Surprise in stats for me is Goncalo Guedes. Now he has a upgrade rating to 82. He is now playing at Wolves. Of course he is. He's Portuguese after all. And he has 4-star, 4-star, high-low work rates, 86 pace with 83 shooting. He's had a massive 4 upgrade on his shooting and 83 dribbling. He looks very nice in his statistics across the board. His shot power and long shots, 87, 88. He looks like he's going to be a good starter striker as well. And obviously Portuguese, again, there's a lot of good links around. If you manage to get yourself a Renato Sanches, or you manage to get yourself just any sort of like Portuguese beast, I suppose, like Bernardo Silva, like might not be very expensive necessarily this year, but certainly a very usable card. He looks like a good starter striker.
See, for me, I'm just looking at like the off leagues, for instance, and another one, Gedson Fernandez from the Turkish league got over 70s across the board. So if you need a sort of like an okay-ish box-to-box midfielder that you can pick up for, literally like 1,000 coins, that's, again, another one. If you've got Portuguese players in there, so you can get him on a little bit of cam. Yeah. Again, also you've got Dries Mertens, you've got Visca, got Torreira as well, so they all have pretty much like solidish starter cards. So yeah, so like pretty much for me it's just a case of don't ignore the off leagues. Like you can pick up something that will look pretty much half decent as a starter player. Same with like going down the line when there's promo players, when there is the informs and stuff, right? If they have a good card that you can maybe even play off chem, don't be afraid to pick them up, because they might be going for ridiculously a lot cheaper than, say, a Premier League player that is the same position with the same stats. Differences, one has got probably the Prem tax on and the other's just being ignored because they're just like some random nation maybe sat in like the Portuguese league or something.
And that's the thing, it's going to be a little while, isn't it, where just before we find out how important that little bit of chemistry missing is going to be key. We don't know, like, at the start whether having players on two diamonds or having them on one or even no chemistry is going to massively affect how they perform in the game until we sort of have that scenario where someone's got a team where they are some one or two diamond players in, comes up against a team with full three diamond players and struggles because of it. We don't actually know how big the boost is going to be yet until the game is fully in the mix or fully in the flow, are we?
Well, the way that I see it is like how I used to do my team reviews. So when someone would submit a team review and it had somebody on 5 chem or even 7 chem, and it was a player that is like 87 rated, you know, has reasonable stats, but I always go with that argument, But surely you want to have them on full chem so that you can get that little bit extra in terms of the stat boost. And it's no different from this one with the 1, 2, 3 diamonds. Like, ideally, yes, you want to have the 3 diamonds and stuff because you want to have those extra stats. But, like, if the card is, like, card already in your team, say, for instance, they had 75 passing, 75 shooting, so you're upgrading it to roughly say 80-80, but the new card you're looking at is 81 passing and 81 shooting, then you might as well just get that upgrade and maybe just have no extra stat boost, because at least that is better than the card you've already got. So I think it's just now you just wait as, is it better than the card I'm already using, rather than do I care about getting the chemistry or something like that. So that's like how I'm going to probably approach my team reviews like this year. It's like, can the upgrade be better than what you're already using, rather than necessarily caring so much about whether to have them on full chem and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So my next sort of one that I've found is someone who really, if you said even 2-3 years ago, you'd have called me mad. I'd be laughed at. And that's Sergi Darda.
Oh, okay.
Sergi Darda used to have about 40 pace. Last FIFA he had about 60, and this FIFA he's now got 82. Ooh. So he's gone from being a completely worthless card to now being a pretty good starter card. 82 pace, 83 dribbling, 74 shooting, 74 defending, 82 passing, 77 physical. 3-star, 3-star, 5'11", medium. It's a pretty bog-standard Spanish La Liga player, but it's a card that we've seen cards of 82 pace and probably about 74 defending, cough, Renato, do pretty well. So yeah, it could be one of those cards that's sort of a little bit under the radar, and you'd have definitely been laughed at in years gone by. But I think that's going to be a solid La Liga starter.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, sounds like it. Massive pace boost. He's obviously been drinking his Red Bulls.
He's gone up 44 pace since FIFA 21.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, another one who's gone up a little bit of pace, who is my part of my last two to touch on, is Zaniolo. He's always looked all right, but this year he's been given a significant upgrade. His rating overall has gone up 3, so he's 81 rated now. But he's gone up 4 pace to 87 pace, and he's gone up 2 dribbling to 82 dribbling, 1 physical to 83, and then his other stats, 75, 72, 62. Acceleration 89 with a sprint speed 86. Agility is 79, balance 76, so maybe you could boost that a little bit. But again, he's high medium, 4-star skill moves, 3-star weak foot, and he's another one of the cards like Merz alluded to who can play in a few different positions. He can play right wing, right mid, striker or center forward for this coming FIFA. So he looks like, for me, for Serie A squads, a nice player in there. My last player to touch on is newly in the Premier League, and just basically based off his stats alone and the fact that actually he does look to be, certainly has looked like a fairly all right starter card the last two FIFAs, is Dennis Zakaria. He's only gone up 1 rating and he has gone down 1 pace, but his pace is still 82. His passing and dribbling have both gone up, and he's got defensive 80, physical 85. Now he has 3-star, 3-star. He's high, so he'll be your kind of up and down sort of defensive CDM. So he'll probably be a bit like Kante, where he gets forward but also comes back just as quick to try and win the ball. I'm just checking to see if he's got any other permissions. So he can play at centre mid, so he can actually be your box to box as well in the game. Again, I think he'll be fairly cheap at the start of the game, and there's potentially some other nice looking Chelsea cards that people will be able to get chemistry off. Certainly if you manage to get yourself a Koulibaly early on, or if you get yourself a Reece James or even Sterling's card this year or something, he's someone that's going to look nice in a starter team for those that aren't going to spend too much money on the game. Do you have any more, Mr. Merzgov?
I mean, there's quite a few that I could probably easily name because I'm designing starter squads to have a look at and stuff like that. But like I said, list could go on and on and on. And it also depends on what some of these prices are, because I look at some of the 83, 84 rated cards, even maybe a couple of the 85s, and thinking about the market in FIFA 22, especially at the start on the release date, so like the 30th for like this FIFA, could absolutely kill some of the prices and bring them dramatically down. Yeah. So I'm not really want to gauge what the prices of these cards are going to be like from the web, but more like what the actual game's going to be. And the problem is for some strange reason, Footbin has got rid of the graphs. So I can't see what some of the players were like at the start to gauge. Like, say, for instance, Luis Diaz. Like, I think that could be an absolute great starter player. But again, it's like, what's his price potentially going to be?
Yeah.
I generally think that a lot of them are going to be cheap. So I think most of the ones that we're talking about are quite like guaranteed to be cheap, but I think there's just some higher rated players,
yeah,
that have got really, really decent stats that could just fall into that bracket as well. But it's kind of like that borderline of whether you know they're genuinely going to be cheap beasts or not.
Yeah, it's just kind of waiting until we start seeing some actual prices come through, isn't it? Really,
I've got one other guy, and I'm going to take a risk. So, it's more going to be a comparison to someone who's historically been good. I took the route of, no one said a goalkeeper, because, well, it's goalkeepers, let's be honest, but I decided to take the courtesy to look at Jack Butland's stats from FIFA 17, and Jose Sarr, similar ratings, similar looking stats, a little bit lower on reflexes, but fairly similar. So, just keep your eyes out for Jose Sarr.
Fair play.
This is when he absolutely flops, but you know, I'm going bold. Sod it.
I'm not gonna lie. I did have a look at some goalkeepers, and there was the new Dortmund. The Dortmund keepers had a massive upgrade.
Kobel.
Yeah, and he looks like he's got nice stats across the board. But yeah, again, you know, with goalkeepers, if it's anything like last year and they save everything, we don't know. If it ends up being height, if it ends up being speed, we'll soon find out. Or if, like this year, towards the end of the game or after the first update, they are just completely broken and don't save a single thing anyway. So the next thing we're going to touch on, that is it for FIFA 23 for now. Obviously, we will have a lot more to talk about in next week's episode once we've all experienced the first, well, by that point, it'll be the first four full days of FIFA on the web app. So we'll be able to give you a bit more of an update then, and then you best believe the week after, we've got a lot more to talk about after the official release. We're going to now move on to the real world of football, where at the weekend, although some games were postponed for potential lack of cover on policing situations, there were a lot of games that did still go ahead. I'm going to like go a little bit more in depth on a few, and let me know, you two, if you managed to catch any of these games. I only managed to watch one this weekend. But it was pretty comprehensive. Friday night football, we saw Aston Villa versus Southampton. Aston Villa getting a 1-0 home win. I saw the highlights of the match today. It looked a little bit of a slightly cagey affair for both teams. But Aston Villa did get their first win. Their first win in a while. Their first win in like five games. Yeah, at home to a Southampton who are also struggling a little bit at the moment, but probably Aston Villa were struggling more. But I think either of these two teams could find themselves sort of in the relegation battle, or certainly low in the league for a while, based on how they've started the season so far. Feel free to jump in and say whether you agree or don't agree before I move on to Fulham and Forest.
Yeah, I've had a strong opinion on Southampton for years. And no, it's not that I don't like them. I just don't rate them, honestly. I just don't see where it's coming from. They've got a couple of good players in like Bella Cocha at the moment, but will it be enough?
for me, Southampton just aren't the same sort of Southampton that they were, what, like 6-7 years ago, with the, even like with the way that they did transfers. Like, you just had to look at some of the players that they've had, like Mane, like Van Dijk and stuff, but they don't seem to have that same level of scouting, so they're not bringing in these like good potential prospects that they can then potentially sell on to other clubs. They just, I don't know what's really going on with them. They seem to be the, like this club slowly in decline, teetering ever closer and closer and closer towards relegation. Yeah. And I think it's just a matter of time before that actually happens.
I think so. I think it could be their year, or they'll certainly be fighting to stay above it this year. People that we thought or predicted that were going to be in the relegation battle at the start of the year when we did predictions, or certainly at least one or two of us did, played against each other, Nottingham Forest and Fulham. Obviously, that was before like Nottingham Forest had made several signings, around about 74. And Fulham as well. We knew that maybe if they carried on playing the way that they played in the Championship, that they would be okay. But they are more than okay. They beat Forest away from home 3-2, and they are sitting 6th in the table at the moment. 3 Premier League wins and 2 draws out of 7 games for Fulham. Pretty impressive start for a promoted side, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Not since the days of Wolves would you say there's been a start probably as good. Maybe you might say Leeds, but Wolves, I think, were a standout good side coming up from the Championship. So Fulham are hitting the ground running, and it's good to actually see the so-called Yogo club doing well for a change. We just need Norwich to do well in the Championship, and you'll have both of them in at the same time. It's a miracle.
It will be. I think there's definitely potential for that, the way that they've started the season. They had a bit of a struggling result this weekend, bit underwhelming. But yeah, definitely can see them getting promoted again this year. They're looking good enough to get there. And yeah, well, it's all about what they do when they get up in the Prem. And unfortunately, they seem to want to not invest very well. And surprise, surprise, that sees them go back down. Forest, though, all their new signings and still kind of not really doing a great deal. They're off the back of 4 losses in a row now. It's one of them things, isn't it, guys, where, like, you know, they have made a lot of signings, but, you know, they've got to gel. They need time. But how much time can you afford before you are already sort of too far behind in the race, I guess?
I mean, they are not doing too badly performance-wise. Like, you've seen, they're getting goals. Let's have that be said. I think what it is maybe the defensive side of things need to be shored up a little bit, and then get those goals and then chip in with like maybe a couple of like 1-0s, 2-0s or something like that against some of the opposition players, and maybe the results will pick up a little bit in comparison to maybe some teams that have come up, where like Fulham, for instance, last two times they've been up, where they've done sheer amount of signings, but then when they've then gone on and played, they haven't really scored and then end up like losing pretty much nearly every single game 2-0, 3-0 style things. Whereas in Nottingham Forest aren't really losing too, but I mean, a couple games, obviously they've probably been heavily dominated, but a lot of the games are also quite close as well.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we'd have probably said at the start of the year, before Fulham have sort of started the way they have, that this game would be a big game for both of these teams at home for Forest, but actually it was a lot tougher given what has happened with Fulham at the start of this year than is sort of easier on paper than it was in reality. I suppose that this was maybe going to be a bit of a dogfight, but actually Fulham at the moment seem to be very impressive. I mean, you know, Forest were 1-0 up at half time, but a game is 90 plus minutes. So Yeah, not managing to get the win there. The other game we'll just touch on a little bit, and then we'll go a bit more into depth into the other two, is on the Saturday, Newcastle-Bournemouth 1-1. I feel like a little bit, Bournemouth have sort of, well, since sacking Scott Parker, suddenly have not dropped points.
Yes, that is correct, but also how much of it is down to new manager syndrome and stuff, and just that sort of like honeymoon period.
Yeah, so I mean, looking at the results, Wolves 0-0 versus Bournemouth. Wolves aren't a particularly attacking side this day and age. 3-2 is the big result against Forest with what they got last time out before this game. So that is, as we described it, the big sort of battle for relegation more than anything else. Mm. As much as I'm standing by, I still think Forest survive. But it's becoming more difficult by the week to try and justify that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not at the moment not doing you any favours in that sense, I suppose. But Newcastle will probably see that as dropping points at home. Although their last five games, I mean, they are the team of draws at the moment. They have five draws in their seven games. That is, you know, is it a case of not getting the closure, not getting the wins? I mean, in this game, it was 0-0 at half time, and they got a penalty to get, obviously, their equaliser. But looking at their previous fixtures, they played a 0-0 against Palace, so pretty lacklustre there. Wolves, so another team, like you said, they were 1-0 down and got the 90th minute equaliser with St. Max. And then there was obviously the Man City game where they were way ahead. But as we know from Man City, they are relentless and won't give up. And obviously from 3-1 down, managed to still get a draw. So it's kind of a bit of both, isn't it? It's not getting ahead in the game and managing to hold on to it, let's say Man City aside, because obviously they're a different beast, but also probably not scoring enough at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know where to point them in terms of what they need to improve. They have had Bruno Guimaraes out for a few weeks, so that's probably had a knock-on effect. I think he was out from before the Liverpool game, if I remember rightly. So everything Liverpool game forwards, they've been going about almost their talismanic player from last season. So yeah. I'd take these with a grain of salt at the moment. Newcastle are still very much a big threat, and I see they've got Spurs in the next five games, and I'm not looking forward to that game.
Well, at the mention of Spurs, let's go to that game next. The Tottenham and Leicester game sees a 6-2, but more importantly, sees someone that no doubt yourself and I think probably even non-Spurs fans have been waiting to come good this season. Heung-min comes on, 59th minute. 73rd minute, he smashes a finesse shot in the top right-hand corner. He then, in the 84th minute, gets one on his left peg and smashes that in the top left corner. And then he scores they looked at it at VAR, but he was clearly onside. In the 86th minute, gets a second half hat trick, but gets a hat trick in 13 minutes. It's nice to see him finally come good, Luke.
Yeah, and it's what I said that they should do. They should send a message to him, drop him to the bench. What's happened? He's had a mentality change. He's come on. He's done the business, and he's probably earning his spot back in for potentially, it could get called off, North London Derby. So it's a perfect time for him to hit form going into that game. If not, oh well. Next game on from that, we move. But it's good to see him back. I will say it's damning on Leicester, though. Absolutely damning. They're bottom of the table. Only 1 point this season. And Danny Ward, where do I begin? He's flapping about. There's a reason. Like, I heard a stat that I think it was before that Tottenham game. His expected goals he was underperforming by four. Like, he was letting him four more at this point in the season than he was expected to. And he didn't cover himself in glory. Indeed, he didn't cover himself in glory. Bentancur getting his first goal for Tottenham. And it was literally pocket picked of Ndidi and then take a shot from outside the box. But yeah, I do not rate Danny Ward in the slightest.
Did you see any of this game at all, Merz?
No, I haven't seen the highlights for that particular game. However, what I would say about the North London derby, if it does happen to go ahead, is I think Richarlison would do more damage to us than Son would. I think if this is a bit weird because I'm like trying to say how Tottenham should beat us, which I shouldn't really be saying. I should say Arsenal should be winning that game. But I think if it was Spurs to win, I think Richarlison and Kane would be too much for us to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, who do you drop? Son or Kulusevski? Because it can be either side.
Son.
You drop Son after three goals. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah. Kulusevski is delivering killer balls at the moment, so it is a valid one. But can you justify it after a hat-trick is the question.
I think so. I think do the same thing again, right? Just like have Kulusevski, Kane and Richarlison being front three, and then bring on Son in the second half, because again, that could be a pain to deal with. Fresh Son in like maybe the 70th minute onwards, because how do you defend it? I mean, we're not doing too badly, but we are at the same time, I think, on a few games. I think it could be similar to like the Man United game, where I think you've said it yourself, like Conte likes sometimes just sitting, getting that goal and then sitting back and then probably getting us on the counter attack.
That's exactly what he loves. He loves that. He loves to sit deep, absorb pressure and encounter.
And that's just how I see the North London derby going, is similar to that Man United game.
I mean, it could always go differently. The panic of going 1-0 down and then the opposite's true.
True, yeah. But I just feel like Kane always likes a North London derby as well.
He does. My concern at the moment is how much Davinson Sanchez is playing. As much as I love him for Colombian links and my Colombian teams, he is a liability. I mean, just look, he gave away a penalty last game. Completely pointless. He's gone sliding in. I mean, it's well conned by, who was it? James Justin, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
That went down for it. I mean, he's absolutely looked for it. He's seen him coming in, gone, oh, easy penalty. It's the same way that Mane in the Champions League final looked at, oh, Sissoko's got his hand up. I'll just hit the ball at it. There's no one in the box, but I'll just kick the ball at it. It's a penalty. Easy days.
Yeah.
So Sanchez definitely got a mistake in him, and I would not be happy to see Martinelli running at him because he'd be playing right centre back. So, yeah, not a. We need to get Romero back in for that. I know he's been in rotation randomly recently, but let's hope that's for fixture congestion and not for potential injuries. Also, I've heard Lloris has potentially got an injury, so it'd be Fraser Forster stepping in. So, I mean, let's not all interesting that too quickly here, because Fraser Forster did get a man of the match performance last season against when it's Southampton versus Arsenal, back end of the season, start of that poor run that got Tottenham top four. So it could still be a blessing.
Yep, true. Rather than a curse. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's nice to see Son hitting the form there. Nice after his call-up to see Dyer's goal as well from set pieces, because certainly it's where a lot of England goals come from. So yeah, a lot of positive things to come out of that game. Not for Leicester. How long can Brendan Rodgers avoid this sacking for, do we think?
Honestly, not a clue, mate. It feels like in some of the interviews, he's resigned to the fact he's getting sacked.
Yes. He's waiting on the board. And the Leicester board, whilst they're fair, have still made tough decisions like this before. They sacked Ranieri 6 months after he won him a Premier League.
Yeah.
So the fact that Rodgers won them an FA Cup and now he's got them rock bottom of the Premier League on a point going into an international break, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I think it's definitely got to be coming fairly soon. Whether they're just, I don't know, if it's another one more game scenario, given that they were away to you, then, I mean, who is Leicester's next fixture? Let's have a look. It is against Nottingham Forest. So that is it, isn't it? Leicester at home to Forest. Basically, if they don't come away with a win there, I think he is bye-byes for sure.
In my opinion, you sack him now and get someone in for the new manager bounce. That their next five games are very winnable.
Must wins, yeah.
Forest, yeah. Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds and Wolves.
Yeah.
Only two of them, you could argue, are semi-difficult. Leeds, if they show up with the type of tenacity they had against Chelsea, but even then, that's pushing it.
Yeah.
And Palace are difficult. Like Arsenal,
Palace are a tricky team, aren't they? Yeah.
Arsenal can attest to that. Liverpool can attest to that. Palace are the difficult one in there.
Yeah.
But they're must-win games.
The other game on that same day was Man City versus Wolves and their player that is clearly, as I noticed a tweet on Twitter going around a lot of different people's accounts, someone who's been watching too much of the Cobra Kai series on Netflix. Let's go to that red card first. What the hell was he doing?
Not thinking straight, clearly, or something.
The thing is, I think not thinking straight is the only reason I say that's a bit like a massive understatement is because that ball is in no man's land, right? So it's like what, chest or certainly hip height, and so the few things he's got to consider is that at that point for both of them is still a 50-50 ball. It's also very, very difficult for Jack Grealish to bring that down and hold on possession when that is a 50-50 ball. If he was in possession, it's a little bit different, but he wasn't. That was definitely a 50-50 stage where, you know, the chances are that if they both came into collision with that ball once it landed, the likelihood is that that was going to go out for a throw-in. Instead, he's karate kicked, jumped in the air, studs facing straight into his hip, and sure enough, obviously, Grealish has sold it, but I don't blame him one bit. It was an absolutely reckless challenge, and the guy gets a red card. Now, at this point, I mean, I was watching this game anyway. At this point, Man City were already 2-0 up. Very, very much in control of the game, looking very dangerous. Jack Grealish scored a nice goal, a nicely worked goal, and then Haaland scored from just outside the box. That guy just can't seem to do anything wrong at the moment. So whether that factors in that he was getting a bit frustrated in the game or something, I don't really know, but he walked off holding his head like he knew that he'd made a reckless decision, but I mean, if there's ever endangered an opponent, it is doing something like that, right?
Oh, I mean, I know exactly why he's done it.
I've heard about the international duty side of things.
Well, it's more just, thinking he's Irish and Grealish is Irish but declared as English. And he's let him have it. He played the Irish, Grealish played, like, I think, under-21s, under-18s for Ireland all the way up to, and then declared for, I think it's basically a Declan Rice situation. So yeah. if I'm Rice, I'm staying away from Collins.
Yeah, definitely.
When West Ham comes around to play.
Yeah, he definitely will. Yeah, the guy's out for blood or or his black belt, either way. But that is all we're going to touch on for in terms of FIFA 23 and football. It will be a slightly shorter podcast for this week, just based on the fact that we're in that kind of mid period now. FIFA 22 is finished and FIFA 23 is just over the horizon. So there will be a lot more FIFA 23 for us to talk about on the next episode. Now, I did allude to what would happen with your questions in the Q&A as Extra Time podcast is now being taken away. However, your questions can still be answered. What you will need to do is go and follow us over on our Twitter page. So at FSB Creators on Twitter. Links are down in the description for those on YouTube. But if you go and check us out over there, we are going to be, after we record podcasts as of next week, we are going to be hosting a Twitter space. Now, basically, this is almost like a live forum podcast scenario where you can come in and listen to questions that we're answering from prepared questions, but we're also going to invite you in to ask us your question live if you have one for us at the time. It's probably going to be 9 p.m. We will try our best to stick to that time, but it all depends obviously on how the recording for the first episode of the podcast goes and things like that. But generally it'll be around about 9 p.m. and we will be in there to answer your questions and talk some FIFA and football with you guys. So make sure you are following us there, and all our links to our channels and Twitter pages are all down in the description as well. So go and follow us individually on the socials now, especially as we'll be bringing you more content and more streams now FIFA 23 is here. So I don't think there's anything more to say for this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you ever so much for joining me, Merz and LAJS, aka Luke. I hope you are feeling a lot better, ready for next week, mate, and ready for the release of FIFA 23.
Hopefully. Maybe this is FIFA withdrawal symptoms. Who knows?
Yeah, this is it. Maybe just in this interim period, everyone's going to feel a little bit under the weather. But come Wednesday, we'll be getting that booster jab of FIFA 23 and everyone will be perked up. But yeah, cheers guys for coming on the podcast again. We will see you guys next week. We hope you have a good start to FIFA 23. We hope we all pack someone to make it far less expensive for us on the start of our journey. We've been the FSB Creators. Thank you all so much for listening.
See ya.
Peace out.